Welcome back to Morning Coffee with Rick Alexander. The theme for the month of November is the second annual 21 Maxims to Maximize Your Life. These are thoughts and contemplations to help you begin finding your own North Arrow as you navigate what could only be described as a chaotic 2020. If you want to go deeper than just the audio experience, you can also head to rickalexander.com and find the show notes as well as journaling prompts. Also, that will be linked up in the show notes of this episode. I also did a short show on how to journal if you're new to it and want to check that out as well. It'll be included on the 21 Maxims page of the website. And of course, if you do get anything at all out of these, it would mean the world to me if you would head to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, and just share the show with anyone you think could benefit from the message. All right, without further ado, on to the show. Hey, happy Wednesday, everybody. So you'll notice that we have been building on a progression, right? Learning to come home to our bodies, learning not to become someone that we're not physically, psychologically, learning to center ourselves on what helps us stand apart from the crowd and like learning to double down on that. And then we moved into yesterday, really this idea that we have to focus on who we're being and not what we're doing. And that means putting your identity and who you are as a human being, as a soul, as something far more than a diagnosis or a job or any kind of label that the Western world might want to manufacture, because that will limit your experience. And so yesterday we did this. I would listen to these in order, which is why I'm telling you this now. Yesterday we did this ideal self meditation where we figured out, okay, who do we want to be in the world? And then whatever pops up throughout our day, we practice becoming that person and we let the doing actually work itself out. We've got to surrender to who we want to be and not worry so much about micromanaging every single result. And in part, that's because the results sometimes have to be adverse. Sometimes we do have to fail so that we can learn what it takes to win or succeed. Sometimes we do have to go through emotional low points so that we can take stock about what's going on in our lives so that we don't have to keep going through the same experiences. Today, I want to talk about creating a practice in your life that allows you to become that person, which is why listening to these in order makes sense. So this episode is going to be a meditation that I put out into my email list at the beginning of the year, and it's just about approaching the idea of forming habits and training for things in your life and approaching hobbies and practices so that you can use those things to pull the potential out of yourself for who you want to be, right? And so that's why we've got to have that aim point of knowing who we want to be, not just what we want to do. And after we do that, then the next step is creating the meta habits that over a long period of time add up to the person that we want to be. And that's growth in general. That's personal development in a nutshell. Of course, things come up, obstacles come up. You know, there's a million things. That's why we do the Maxims. That's why I produce so much content. But in general, this is the process of growth in a way that'll be sustainable, in a way that you don't grow somewhere and then look at your garage full of shit and ask yourself, is this really all it's about? Or you don't end up in a relationship and wake up in 10 years and realize that you really hate your life, right? There's a million ways we can grow, but we want to make sure that we grow in a direction that is sustainable. And on Instagram, one of the posts that I made a post a while ago, and I've been seeing it get posted around lately, which is, you know, we don't train to accomplish things. We train to be the kind of person that can accomplish things, which is why maxim number 8 is process has to matter. It must. And so enjoy this meditation. Again, show notes at rickalexander.com, and we'll talk tomorrow for maxim number 9. Aristotle said that excellence is an art won by training and habituation. We do not act rightly because we have virtue or excellence, but we rather have those because we have acted rightly. All right, so today, as I said, we're going to peel apart habits and probably take a look at them in a light you've never or perhaps rarely ever heard of or just even thought about. I personally have had a love-hate relationship with many of the so-called success habits that have become popular in the last decade. And so after fighting my way through that space for quite some time, that's why I wanted to shed some light on these things that have helped me. But first, we have to answer this question, which is, why has so much talk in the personal development space centered around habits in the first place? Aristotle was the first person that's credited with saying that excellence is a habit, meaning whatever we wish to become, we must make habit. Through these repeated and consistent steps towards what we want, we see in time that we do get it. And I do believe this is because most people severely overestimate what they have to do now to make progress toward their dream, and then underestimate how much progress they can make over a long period of time. So just think back on your own life. You probably don't have to go back very far, to be honest. When was the last time that you got super excited about something you wanted to do or change or create in your life? For me, this happens with new business ventures or projects or books I want to write or whatever. In fact, as someone that's spent a while coaching people through their projects like this, I actually see it quite often. We have a ton of locomotion toward whatever goal you want. Let's use like getting in shape to run a marathon or something like that. Just getting back in shape as an example. If we don't think through our approach and we let enthusiasm get the best of us, it's likely that on the first day, we'll go out and run a ton of miles. This is my like go-to. Basically acting like we're going to get the entire training cycle on day one. This, of course, results in an extreme level of fatigue and soreness because we've overtrained. And what we've done, in essence, is give ourselves a bigger hill to climb in the following training days, i.e., we have to overcome our soreness, which is another obstacle to training, and we have to do it with a lower amount of biological resources, as the cortisol that our brain produces in response to the last session tends to suppress what we need to get going in this one, not to mention inflammation and hormone production, inflammation from muscular trauma, and the list just goes on and on. And so in many ways, we end up screwing ourselves right out of the gate. At a minimum, even if we stay with the given endeavor past the fallout of our motivational dump, we've made our life much harder than it had to be. And the thing is, if you want to do difficult things in life, you already have the odds to work through. Why stack them against you more? We unknowingly decide to travel the rocky and rough terrain of the road that makes us believe we have to do everything now, when the road of incremental progress and lasting results is sitting right next to us. This might be the result of our fast food culture that wants everything now and is used to getting it. It might be the result of a culture that isn't in touch with their own values and, as such, hasn't drawn motivation from the correct well. But in any case, today I want to talk about working through the behavior that holds us back, regardless of why we keep falling into the trap, so to speak. It's important if we want to get things in life, especially if we want to get things in life that haven't been modeled for us, we have to see that just because we do something one way or have learned one way does not mean that we have to stay on that road. Perhaps my favorite line in my lectures is in telling people it's not what you learn that's important, it is that you have learned. Because what you know has been learned, it can be unlearned and replaced with more productive thought. Replaced is the idea here. We've got to let go of whatever it is that's our current habits are. You know, this is especially true if what you need to put down is a method of acting that continues to keep results out of your reach. If other people have gotten what they want, it is possible, but we must let go of what we are holding on to get something else. You don't have to have had a loving relationship modeled for you to have one. You don't have to have a seven-figure entrepreneur as a parent to become one yourself. But you must understand that not having these things modeled for you puts you behind in learning to attain them. People that do have those things modeled for them are taught intrinsically things that you must go out and gather. But that's okay, because prior to going into the military, I never knew one person that had a special forces career. Not one, ever. Special operations in any capacity is less than 1% of the military, which is in turn less than 1% of the population. I became it because I emptied myself of what I knew. Luckily, even at 19 years old, I could see the inadequacies of my own ideas. I became teachable and coachable in every way possible. I was able to recognize the inherent pitfalls in my own thinking, which I guess when you're a college dropout in your hometown, that's not too difficult. But the point is, I put all of my effort into what I was told. And it turns out that other people actually knew a lot more about where I was going than I did. But like I said, maybe we need to relearn some things if we're going to find success in ways we've not seen or done before. On my second interview or first, I think it's my second interview of this podcast, I spoke with the startup Find My Formula. And the founders talked like extensively about the power of small, repeated habits. Their take was that instead of New Year's resolutions, we should only look to what habits we want to form. And I tend to agree because using pretty straightforward thinking, it's easy to see that whatever we habitualize will end up informing, and I mean that literally giving form to, the quality of our days. Our days in turn inform our legacy. The rub for me has always been in trying to force myself to commit to habits that feel inauthentic. You can follow anyone from Tim Ferriss to the person we'll talk about today, Brendon Burchard, and they'll give you plenty of things you should be doing if you want to get success. I remember when I started my journey on this path, I would look at the more well-known names, and I would think that I had to do what they did or commit to the routines that they outlined. This resulted in me having super lengthy morning routines, expensive nighttime concoctions before bed, and downloading all kinds of apps for productivity. But regardless of what I tried, I always ended up in the same place, falling short of what I wanted and feeling like perhaps that lifestyle was just out of my reach. The thing that helped me peel back that layer on this was going through Angelo Sisco's Masculine Mastery course. When I was in that course, I dove into the different ways I was trying to set up my lifestyle, and I realized I was ignoring this huge human element, like the actual part that we've been talking about all week, which is who you are, like your being, not what you're doing. The part where I had to love what I was doing or it was going to fail. You know, one thing I've learned about myself, and I suspect many others are similar, because I've seen qualities like this in my clients, is that if I love something and I want it, there's almost nothing that can keep me from it. And if I don't want something or don't love it, there's nothing I could ever do to force it and make it work for me over the long term. No matter how many experts swear by it, no matter how many best-selling books have it in their title, no matter what, right? I've got to love it. And so these habits that we're talking about today, they cannot be these abstract success habits. They've got to work for your lifestyle. They've got to conform to your values, which we've been talking about all week. They've got to, at the end of the day, ensure that they are contributing to the person you want to be, not just what you want to do. And so in light of that, let's take a look at what we're trying to do with habits. Let's clear the canvas so we have a little room to breathe here. And let's widen the definition so that we can fit a bit more life into it. And then let's build lives that actually work for us. This is what we truly want after all. The reason we want more success is more enjoyment, more fulfillment, more autonomy with our lives. We want to know we're the ones in the driver's seat and that we actually have a bit of say over how it all goes. But the truth is, those are very individualistic pursuits that are based on our intrinsic value system. Our habits then should definitely reflect our values. I'm going to mention Brendon's book, High Performance Habits. I've been talking about it off and on throughout this show because of all the books I've read on this subject, this one has moved the needle the most for me in this department. Again, though, it only happens when I line that up with my values. It's given me some great principles and guidelines and, yeah, mostly left the who and the what up to me. And that's how habits have to work for you. They should be stringent enough that they corral behavior toward a desired outcome, yet loose enough that your personality and all of your quirks can exist within them and still consistently show up. This is why the elaborate routines have never worked for me. And I'm not saying they don't work for everyone, because obviously they do. I'm just saying if you see room for improvement, the method I've adopted may have a couple answers. And also, just to qualify the conversation, this book is the result of the largest study of high-performance habits in the world. And the reason I'm okay with citing it is that one of the categories used to measure performance was actually in life fulfillment outside of career, meaning the vast majority of the subjects have taken the time to decide what success even means to them in the first place, which again is why this maxim is further down the line, because we've got to create better targets before we just go aiming at things, right? And because success is so deeply personal and deeply intrinsic, there's no amount of work that will ever matter if the destination you're driving toward is inauthentic. You'll find you're always looking for greener grass and never finding it. And in fact, that saying is the result of people who didn't take the time to clarify what they wanted, instead believed that what they needed was something outside of themselves. And so, step one in crafting habits that don't suck is to always figure out what you are after and what you want your life to look like. This is the litmus which solid habits should be crafted after. And so when we create habits, they are lined up with our values, and we ensure that they are creating the characteristics of who we want to be. In order to do this, ask yourself, to get the life that I want, what must I be better at? How must I think about the world? What must I stop doing? So I've chosen to build my life in the entrepreneurial route. And so that's a fancy word for saying I've chosen to solve problems. Yet problem solving is a skill that can be learned or developed just like a muscle in your body. I could wake up at 4 a.m. and do breathing work, certainly. I also could just practice solving problems every day so that when I come up to my own, I have habitualized thinking and solutions, which is not what most people do. And so to solve this, I took James Altucher's daily practice of coming up with 10 ideas. So that's going to be your journaling prompt for today, is just come up with 10 new habits that you've never heard of before. I mean, you can't have heard them before, but that would line up with your values and who you want to be. And so you do this challenge. I did it every day to come up with 10 ideas about a certain topic. And the topic is actually irrelevant, right? Because I was actually trying to work on my problem-solving skills. And so remember, the what doesn't really matter. It's who you're becoming. So it could have been something like, how do I make an extra $500 this month? And then you just sit down and brainstorm 10 ideas to do that. Or maybe something like, how could Google improve my marketing? And then you craft 10 ideas for how to do that or how to go about that. And so you're just exercising this idea muscle all the time. It doesn't really matter what it is. What matters is that you learn to frame problems correctly and dig for answers that help you and don't paralyze you. Right? This was the first major habit I remember implementing that actually worked for me. I found more flow in my business. I found I was teaching myself to become who I wanted to become. And with a busy life of early mornings and late nights in the military, all I had to do was keep a small notebook at the center console of my car. And then every day I'd just pause for a moment, scribble a few ideas, and then keep moving. And I guess that's why Alice's dad, before she went into the Wonderland, she was talking about her dad, and she said he would always think of 10 impossible things to do before breakfast. You know, he was teaching himself how to think through habit, just not one that you see in Entrepreneur Magazine. And this is the point. So what we actually want to make habit in our lives are the character traits that move us toward however we define success. That's it. If we want to be happier, we habitualize looking for the beauty in things and finding gratitude for what we have. If we want to be adaptable and be the kind of person you see that always seems to do better in unexpected moments of pressure, you should habitualize becoming an amateur. One of the habits mentioned in Brendan's book is that most of the high performers interviewed tend to practice new skills that are completely unrelated to their craft or trade. The executive spends an hour on Tuesday learning to play the violin. The football player spends his Sunday evenings learning ballet. Doesn't matter. Some skills are transferable, but all of your character is. We can get a lot further by becoming the kind of person that learns to succeed amidst what we don't know if we practice doing it. Nothing in this life exists in a silo. How you do one thing is how you do everything. And if you find that your life isn't that way, it's probably because you spend a lot of time keeping parts of your life separate from other parts. But this game gets old and tiresome after a while. Instead, it's far more efficient to become the best version of yourself possible, what we've been talking about all week. And you do that by habitualizing things that will lead to good character. And then, again, as I've said, no matter what you want or where you end up, you have something to rely on, something that cannot be taken as long as you have a heartbeat. And so what all this boils down to is that what we do for a habit isn't that important as long as it helps us form our character and ourselves into the kind of person that can do the things that we're hoping to do with our lives. Our habits are about who we become while doing them, just like everything else in this life. I love you guys, and we'll talk later on the next Maxi.